Well, good afternoon, everybody. I know you're all out there. It's a bit hard to see. I know there are hundreds of you out there this afternoon. I'm just saying that for the sake of the recording, because people obviously can't see the audience. So I'd like to thank all 200 of you for coming here this afternoon. Welcome to SES B210, the right project management solution for Microsoft SharePoint Online, moving towards Project Online. My name is Ian White. I am the area specialist for projects in Visio for our Western European subsidiary. And that basically covers not all of that map, but for everywhere from Finland down to Portugal, but not including France, Germany, or the UK. So the accent doesn't tell you where I'm based. And with me presenting today, I will pass the mic to
Måns Backlund is my name. I work as the SSP, solution specialist for project management in the Swedish subsidiary.
And this afternoon, we're going to be talking to you about the maturity from very simple SharePoint task list-based projects using Office 365 and SharePoint Online, and our vision of how you can take these simple early projects and move them through a collaborative approach through to a more sophisticated scheduling approach, right the way through to the Project Online, also delivered through Office 365, and do some of the more interesting stuff. And although I will be boring you with some death by PowerPoint to start off with, most of the afternoon is going to be demos that Måns has volunteered to do because I said he should. Anyhow, we'll move on. And what I'd like to know is not the answer to these questions. I would like to do some post-lunch exercise. And this goes for you, those of you watching this online, the recording. I want you to do this as well. I'd like you all to raise your hands in the air, please. Can you all raise your hands in the air? That's you at the back as well. If you could raise your hands in the air, we can see you. And those of you at home, we can see you as well. It's a secret. Keep your hands up. It's exercise. It's good. If you've never used Project at all, ever, put your hands down. So you've all used Project to some extent. That's fantastic. You're allowed to put your hands down now. There you go. There we are. See, I've got some interaction. I said I'd get interaction this afternoon, Måns. So it's really good from our perspective to understand that you've had some exposure to this, and it helps us to shape the way that we demo this moving forward. Now, by this time on Thursday afternoon of the TechEd conference, it's probable that you know a bit about Microsoft Office 365. If you don't know by now, what have you been doing for the last 2 days? And what we're going to do is we're going to focus a little bit, not on the classic areas that most people know about, which is, you know, the Office Professional Plus and the click to run, or, you know, the benefits of using Exchange Online, which are many, or even the Link Online, which is absolutely fantastic. But we're going to focus on the project piece and task lists and how they go from being very simple task lists through to more sophisticated SharePoint lists. And SharePoint is about collaboration. And there's no reason why projects aren't about collaboration as well. Whether you're putting together initial ideas for a project, whether you want to look for people who have expertise because they've done similar projects in the past, whether you need to provision a project, a complex or a simple project, very quickly, and whether you need to ensure that the resources, the people who are working on the projects, can understand what they need to do and when they need to do it. So when we look at the areas that we've invested in SharePoint 2013 and SharePoint Online, it's essentially the same from this perspective. We're just going to call out the task management piece. Because in 2013, we provisioned a new capability. It's called the Work Management Service. And that allows a much more sophisticated management of tasks, both within SharePoint and within the Project Online components, and allows them to be collated together and, if necessary, synchronized with the with your Outlook task as through Exchange connections. So very simple to do, But enough of me talking about it. I'm going to pass over the microphone to Mons, and he's going to start showing you what it's all about.
Okay, so I'm pressing the button. Works fine. So today, I'm Sarah Davis, essentially. And what we're looking at here is the new personalized site in SharePoint 2013 or Office 365. We're not allowed to call it my site anymore.
Nope.
Because it's not my site, but it's quite kind of resembles my site. Anyone who doesn't know what my site was or what this is? Okay, good.
One person.
Was it one person?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. This web page in SharePoint, essentially in Office 365, as this is, collects the data that you work with, essentially. It's your personal site. So the thing I've opened now is SkyDrive Pro. Essentially, it's a SkyDrive like the consumer version, but is actually based on Office 365 and SharePoint instead. So this is a SkyDrive that IT actually can have control over. files in SharePoint 2013, I think you do know, is quite easy just to drag and drop into document folders like this. If you want to share something with your organization, you have a folder already done called Shared with Everyone. Now, if you want to share a specific document with someone, you can right-click, not right-click, you can click the little menu, three little dot menu, and you'll actually get a preview of the file. I can just click that Share button right there, and you can type in that I want to share this with Ian, for instance, and click Share. Now he can see that file within my private SkyDrive Pro folder. He won't see the other files, of course, but he will see all the files that are in this folder if he wants to do that. SkyDrive can also be, SkyDrive Pro can also be synchronized to your PC, of course, so you get all that goodness as you get from a regular SkyDrive, from the consumer version of SkyDrive. But Sarah, she is a diehard project manager, and she wants to get a bit more structure around how she manages a project she just inherited from someone. Maybe from Ian, I don't know.
No.
No, it's not
somebody
from you.
Else. It wasn't
somebody
me.
Else. And she's got the idea in here. It's the project planning, as many project managers does. Let me just ask you one question. If you heard this question yesterday, you cannot answer it. Which is the most used project management software out there? Anyone?
If you didn't hear the question yesterday, we got a volunteer for the most used project management tool in the world. And the gentleman at the back there put his hand up first and shouted out.
What did he say?
Excel. The gentleman at the back said Excel. That's very good, but you only get second prize. It is the second most popular project management tool in the world. Microsoft Project Client is the third most project management tool used in the world.
Ian, just say it.
I want to roll of drums, please. Roll of drums. Outlook is, of course, the most used project management tool in the world.
So Sarah wants to get a bit more structured than just sending emails back and forth to the project team. And she inherited this from someone, I don't say who, and clicking on a Excel sheet or a document, I should say, in the SkyDrive Pro or any folder, I should say, in SharePoint 2013 or Office 365 will render the document in Office Web Apps, as you know. Now, in here, we've got some basic task structure. It's a basic work breakdown structure of the project. It's some kind of task board thingy that we're going to do. It's got a due date, and it's also got some owners. I will remove Ian, because I know he won't be joining us. And to do that, I need to edit it. And I open it in Excel, stupid me. Doesn't matter. I could have edited it directly into the browser, of course. So I copy this, because this is what I want to start with. But I want to start with a SharePoint site. And she clicks sites, or I click sites. Sarah is my alias when I do these demos. And I do have a little new site icon up here that I click. I'll create a standardized SharePoint site. New task board app. Create. Shouldn't take long. This data center, I should say, is situated in Chicago at the moment that we're using. So some transatlantic seconds later, we have our site up and running. We can also see that I can't spell on stage, which is OK. Now, this little carousel that we call it here is something we use to educate new users and old users of SharePoint what you can do with a site. It's something that's new in this version of SharePoint. And it really lifts up the most important part, right? Share your site. I want to share this site with someone. Let's share it with Ian, for instance. Ian White. Like so. If I want to share any site, or if I want to share anything like a documents library, which now is empty at the moment, I can also click this button up here that says share. What's even cooler is that I can, on this instance of Office 365, I have an administrator which is very, very kind. So he has, it's me, but anyway, he has allowed me to share these sites with external users. So I can type in an external address if I want to. And I can even make this person give him or her full control. What this means is that that person can log on to this website through the email, in this case, outlook.com website, and start to edit and upload documents. I click share, and now we've essentially used this Office 365 site as a small part of an extranet. It's that hard to invite someone that's not on your domain. And one little important thing here is that we include that in your license of Office 365. So there's no extra charge for sharing with that kind of people. OK, so let's get going with the tasks. The second thing on the carousel says working on a deadline. And that's the thing I'm doing, the project, right? The task board application that we need to create. So I'm clicking, and it says working on it. And it educates me that we will add tasks with a timeline and a calendar. So add them, of course. What happens is I get a little timeline up here. Show of hands, how many have seen the timeline in Project 2010, where it was introduced? OK, a few. The project team now is a part of the SharePoint team. And this is the child, essentially, of the project team. It's now literally timelines all over SharePoint 2013 and Office 365 SharePoint. And so what this does, essentially, is it draws a timeline of a task list. So let's get organized and edit this list. It's empty at the moment. If you remember, I copied all that thing from Excel, the little WBS I had going. So I paste that, and I allow access to my clipboard, and we get all the tasks pasted into this task list. How many in here are using task lists to manage projects or smaller projects today? Show of hands.
If your company is using SharePoint task lists.
Well, quite a few.
A few of you.
Yeah, okay, good.
It'd be a bit more energetic with those hands. It's harder for us to see from up here, you know?
We're about...
waving around.
We're about 18% of them using it. So there's a couple of things happening here. The first one is on us. This is the most obvious one, right? They put this little infrastructure task up on the timeline. It's right there. If I want to add another one, for instance, app installation, I can add that to the timeline using that little button as well, and I can add some more. Doesn't have any date. It educates me that you need to have a date in order to put it on something that has a time scale. Thank you very much. So I do that. It hasn't saved yet, so we'll have to wait the transatlantic seconds. Now we can do it. And this app installation, the infrastructure and these things here, if you remember on the Excel file, that was bold. So that's actually a phase. So I want to start to get some structure into this. So I'm coming back to the timeline, by the way. These tasks here, essentially, they are subtasks to this infrastructure. And up on the ribbon, I have a tasks tab. And I can indent and outdent tasks here. You who have been using task lists in 2010 know that task lists didn't really have any more hierarchy than one level at a time. We actually didn't have hierarchy, we had folders instead. Now we have full hierarchy, so we can essentially create how many different kinds of levels we want directly in the SharePoint interface. So let's go in and do some more here. Another thing that's been improved is the ability to drag and drop tasks. If I want to move it from up there to down here, it's just easiest drag and drop directly into the list. Another thing that, of course, is also very appreciated is the ability to just use these things to manage clutter, the little hierarchy buttons. Another thing that SharePoint did also was to translate these dates into something that's very viewable or visible. So something that should have happened yesterday or before is red. And we've also assigned the tasks to users that we found in the system. So now if Sarah and Robin were found in the system, they are now added to the task. And they actually have this task now in the task list. So I give this to myself as well, see how that works. And of course, if I had Link on this machine, it would show me the online presence of Sarah and Chris. And I could ask, is June the 7th a reasonable date for this for reasonable due date? Now, we've only got due dates here, and infrastructure is a phase, right? We want this to be displayed as a phase or a bar, actually. So clicking the thing up here in the timeline gives me this little shortcut, essentially, to displaying this as a bar. Now, might be unintuitive, but however, that's actually a place where people click. So you need to enter a start date here. So the 26th of June, let's start this task at the 12th. This is planning after the fact. So now we've got a bar on the timeline. And the bar and these milestones, as you see, they are milestones because they only have due dates. And they are completely editable. So I can directly, in the SharePoint UI, drag and drop these where I want them. And I can change colors on these. And remember this color I choose now, the pink one, because that's something that we're coming back to later.
I just want to mention a moment. You probably have heard on other sessions, but it's worthwhile just pointing out here. We're doing everything through the browser at the moment, and we're using Internet Explorer. But we could be using Chrome. We could be using Safari on an iPad. We could be using Firefox or any of the latest version of browsers on a phone, on any sort of tablet device, and, of course, very much so on our tablets and our browsers. But it's absolutely full fidelity across the latest versions of those other browsers. So really great for those of you who've got senior management, and they carry around their iPads as if their life depended upon it.
OK, so let's go on with the task list. We need some more structure to this, because we only got due dates. We want start date as well, and maybe some other things. Clicking this little button here can show there's actually a Gantt chart there. So if we go in and do things with want to see a Gantt chart, we need to have some more structure. Maybe we need a predecessor, a relationship between tasks. So what I do is I modify this view, and I just add start dates. I'll put that in number 3. And predecessors, I put that last. That's OK. Just save. Now we've got more stuff in the task list. Great. So I can start to use the new inline editing functionality that I used when I paste the entire thing from Excel. Very convenient to choose new dates as such. Now, these tasks that have been assigned, they have directly been assigned to these people. So we're now taking you back to the newsfeed site, the personal site of Sarah Davis, where we started with the SkyDrive. Down here, she actually has something called tasks. This is new in 2013. And it is a collection, it's an aggregation of all the tasks that Sarah has been assigned to in the environment. Every SharePoint task list that she has a task on aggregates down to this list. But it's not only that. It also comes from project online, the project server in the cloud we'll see in a few minutes, and it also is actually your personal tasks. So these are personal tasks that you can enter right here, or if you have an Exchange Online 2013 environment, or an Exchange 2013, I should say, on-premises environment, personal tasks you enter in Outlook will also show up there. But we are interested in this new task board app. Here we go. These tasks were just added, essentially. And if I want to report on one of these tasks, say, you know, the security is actually done, I can just click, and the task will be reported complete, 100%. And right there, it was removed as well, and it's put into a new view called, sorry for all these demo projects, completed. So we have different views. And even the one that's called important and upcoming has a timeline. So Sarah can herself actually add these tasks to a timeline to show for her personal use when the different tasks are due. Now, going back to the active list, there is a little thing here that I want to show you. It says new task there, just below the project name. And that new task is something I can do, I can use as a personal task for myself. I can say, oh, really need to figure out color scheme for this application. And there's a little, you can note there's a little icon, there's a little privacy icon to the right-hand side here. This task is only visible to me. So if I want to add a personal task in the context within a specific project, that button is what I use. Now going into the task, we see some more information on it. And I can also make this task public to project members. So I think if I think this is something we need to do in the project, I can click this button, and the project manager will see that as a suggestion on the task list. It will pop up on the end of the task list. Let's go to that task list and see what it looks like. Hang on, before I do that, I'll just want to click this task as well. Because if you want to be somewhat more granular than just saying I'm 100% done or I'm not done, you can click the task and enter a percent complete if you want to. In this case, I just enter 50%. There's also show more button here that will show me, for instance, descriptions and other attributes that I have on this task list. If I've configured this with my unique attributes I want to have, they would also, of course, show up here. So I click save, and now that task, note that I'm taken back to the task list, I'm not taken to the project site, so it makes sense, I'm working, reporting on my task, right? But now I want to go to that project site. And this list is not only a list of my tasks, it's also a list of all the projects I'm working on. Because clicking here will bring me to the project site. So, sorry for that. Looking at the task list again will show me that down here we now have figuring out the color scheme. It lies in the, on the bottom piece of this. So I can now edit the task list and bring this up where it belongs. It should do this just below overall look. And I brought it in under the design phase like that. Okay, and then I can schedule it if I want to. I think that's it for the SharePoint Online and task management. How many of you knew you could do this in SharePoint 2013?
How many of you have seen this for the first time? There
Great.
We go. That's what we want to know.
Good.
So that was almost 100% of the 200 people here in the room saw this for the first time. That's for the benefit of the people who are watching the recording.
Just one last thing before I switch to PowerPoint, Ian. On the newsfeed site here, there's one... Oh, sorry, I'll just back up. There is a little list thing here. We're coming back to the list tab in the ribbon. But there's one button here that's interesting. It says Sync to Outlook. And in SharePoint 2010, we could synchronize stuff to the Outlook client, as you remember. It was kind of clunky, if you ask me, but you could. Now, this doesn't sync to the Outlook client. This syncs back-end to the Exchange Online or Exchange On-Premises 2013 server. So all the tasks that you had shown up on that list, I just click it so you see what it is, essentially. This is a opt-in button that will show for all users that have a tasks list. And if I click Sync Tasks, that will be turned on. and all my tasks from my personalized site, this list, will also be brought down to my Exchange account. And I can edit those tasks and report from them on a phone, for instance. Okay?
So on mine, it says trip to the dentist. And it appears in all of those things that I'm looking at. And it's really, really useful. So, just to sort of bring that together, we've looked at the essentially the entry level here of what we would consider to be relatively simple task-based projects. You don't need to do advanced resource management. You're not going through approval cycles. We're not doing complex calculations within the project to look at start to finish relationships, although we could have them in there, but it doesn't really calculate the project based on changes. Those of you, any of you in here who are professional project managers that have an accreditation? Any of you got PMPs or stuff like that, one or two of you? We can't do baselines in that. It's just a very simple task-based environment, but very good for some specific situations. Maybe you're putting together a work breakdown structure or you're working on a small project. But we want to be able to take that from this entry level, from tasks, and move them up into more managed projects where we're using the power of the Microsoft Project Client, we're using the power of the project server, and we're using additional power that SharePoint has to offer. We look at this from a maturity perspective, a bit like this. What we've seen at the moment is really, it says individual on the left, but it isn't really. It's more about simple teamwork as opposed to the next layer up, which is more complex teamwork. And it's pure SharePoint. Whether it's on-premise or in the cloud, what we've seen is pure SharePoint. So we're going to move beyond that now and have a look at where you go to from here. I've given him a bit of a rest, and now he's going to start off again.
So just a few notes again. There's also a good place, because I didn't mention this, I forgot that. On the sites page that you have there, all the sites that I'm following or that I'm a member of are also showing. So it's also a very good place to go to when it comes to sites and project sites. Clicking the new Taskboard app site, I also have a few things to note here. I'm now going along with my project, and the planning starts to look better. I added some more dates here. I can use this functionality, of course, that I'm talking about. The inline editing to, for instance, add a predecessor. It's not much predecessors to the first task, though, so let's take the second one. That is already complete, but a predecessor app like that. And then we'll want to look at the Gantt chart, because there is a Gantt chart that has been improved in this version. It looks like this. And we see that this predecessor is actually... the predecessor is actually shown with this little arrow here. There's a relationship between these two tasks. However, if we, for instance, say that this task will be due in the 6th of July instead, essentially after that task, it won't move the app security from the list task. It will still draw the relationship, but the task will stay on. And this is because the SharePoint list, or I should say the SharePoint server, doesn't have any scheduling engine. It's not a smart list. It's not smart predecessors. So in order to fix this, we're going to go up again to the list up here, where we have, just a note, I see that. There's a notebook, of course, as well. This is a very, very powerful thing. There's a OneNote notebook on every site that creates by default in SharePoint these days. So, meeting minutes. This is what we decided. These notebooks will sit on the site and will be the central page for all notes done in the project. Very convenient. Sorry for forgetting that. So what I wanted to do was to go up and get some more structure on this. I haven't got any documents. So drag some documents and put them in the document folder like that. Love that demo. I got one of the biggest files most probably there. Oh, it was pretty good, pretty fast. So remember, this is in Chicago. I hit the list button while I'm in the task list again. And I'll click this link, open with project. What happens now is that the task list is read into my Project Pro for Office 365 client. It says Project Professional, but it is a Project Pro Office 365 license, essentially. It's the same software. You can do the same thing with them. The difference is a Project Pro for Office 365 is licensed per user. Precisely the same way you can buy Office Pro Plus within Office 365 and stream them down to your PC, or sorry, I should say up to 5 PCs per user. Was it a user-based licensing model instead of a device-based model? Using click to run. So we're greeted with the timeline. And as you see, the timeline now has that pink. Thank you.
Yep.
The pink color that I edited in the SharePoint site. Also down here, we have a welcoming dialogue showing me what I can do with this list now. So maybe you should add some start dates. You've got quite many milestones in this. Maybe you want to create some reports. And note that it actually says 7% complete here. And that's because I have already said that one of the tasks were 100%. The other ones, project has done something that project has done for ages with the tasks that are only milestones. It's estimated the task to take 1 day. Therefore, we can see that Robin Counts, in this little report, have more than 160 hours of work in front of him.
He's busy.
Sarah, on the other hand, she's almost done. This is great. If you want to learn more about this, this is a too tiny link in my world, but if you click that, it will take you to an online guide where you can see videos on how to do this. We've worked heavily in Project 2013 and in this version of Project for putting online content, guides, and tips and tricks for everyone to use.
There's content for those of you who are users of the tools. There's content for those of you who have administrators who want to understand how to configure this. And there's content for those of you who want to develop additional capabilities which we don't ship out of the box. So whether it be simple video guides, deep technical documentation both on TechNet and MSDM.
Brilliant. So I'm done, and I'm taken to the familiar view of project and the Gantt chart. Now, some of you had previous experience with Project 2010. And in Project 2010, we introduced something called manually scheduled tasks. All these tasks that are in this task list from the get-go are manually scheduled. Essentially, they actually have the same way of treating predecessors as the SharePoint site. However, if we create a relationship between these two, if we click this little link, respect links, it won't actually move it because we've got actuals reported on that task. There you go. So let's take these two instead. We'll link these two together. And they are treated as tasks that have a finish-to-start relationship. And they're pushed out. However, I want this to be more structured. I'm a waterfall person in this case, so I'll just... even though the app we're creating is actually a task board app for maybe something more agile, this is a waterfall project. So I just click auto-schedule like that and add some more days here.
If you look at the bars that have changed, you'll see that the shape of the bars changed between the manual tasks and the automated tasks. Automated tasks, for those of you who've used Project 2003, 2007, or maybe still in 2010, are the ones that Project will constantly calculate every time you make a change in the plan. As Mon said, the manual tasks stay where you put them. Now, you could do that before using constraint dates, but most people tend to get quite confused about constraint dates. And so this is a much easier way to set a task which you know cannot move.
Okay, so to create, use the scheduling engine of project that, as again, is not non-existent in SharePoint, I link all the tasks like that, and we've got a waterfall besides this one that was already reported on. It stays where it is, because it's 100% complete. And some other things regarding Project 2010, as I said before, my mouse stopped working with me. Thank you very much. Thank God this is a Lenovo. I have a little steering pin here. And the timeline is also something that, of course, we now can use. We right-click on the tasks we want to add in the timeline and add them like that. And it works exactly like it did in SharePoint. So we can arrange these, and we can even make this front end here show up as a call-out, for instance. If it gets, call-out. Okay, let's try this with the design one. Thank you. I don't know what happened there. Interesting. Oh, there you go. So these tasks are now displayed as call-outs or faces or whatever you call them instead, making it maybe less cluttered. In this case, I actually think it became more cluttered. So I'll just display it as a bar instead. And you can change the colors here and do nice things with it so it looks nice. Something like that, and this is a very important face that we want to have in blue, like that.
This capability hasn't changed very much since 2010. However, if you're using up a lot of space when you're working on the project, you can actually make that line thinner just so that you can see the key phases. At the moment, you can see Mons has the detail button selected. If he unsets it, we go to a sort of a summary version to make it a bit easier to see what's going on if it's got very, very busy.
You can also remove dates and have different kinds of date formats, of course. We're not going to bore you with that. Two things. I feel now I'm done with the plan. I think this is a good plan. But what does a good project manager do when we have a good plan? We're at toll gate one.
I know.
And we want to do something.
I know.
This is the plan we're working on.
Can I tell you?
Anyone? Has anyone heard the word baselines?
Oh, I wanted to tell you.
I'm asking them. The word baseline is essentially, you can make it up from the word, it is where we start. In order to compare to the plan, essentially follow up the project to understand where we are, we must create a baseline. Click project, set baseline, and you select the first baseline, and okay, we've now copied that. Just to make sure you understand what this is, if we add a column here called finish variance. It says zero. We are on track at the moment. But if we delay, for instance, this task by a couple of days, the finish variance now is 3 days for this subtask, I should say. Sorry, for this summary task, I should say. For the second piece of gold nugget when it comes to project client knowledge, I will show you task zero. Up on the format tab, we have project summary task, very important little button there. Clicking that will show you the entire project duration and finish date. We'll see that everything is now delayed 3 days. If you enter costs on your resources and do work with that as well, all that will be aggregated to the project level as well. Now, we want to take this back to the SharePoint site. So all I have to do is click the Save button. Since we opened it from the SharePoint site in project, it will now be synchronized back all these different tasks that I did and the changes. If I added any resources, those will also be added. I didn't do that now. And what also will be done is that project will automatically save this MPP file to the SharePoint site. It will hide it, so to speak, under a document library called Site Assets. So clicking closing project, I'm not asked, where do you want to save this MPP file? Of course, it's already saved it. And if I update the site, you'll see that the new timeline came down and all the relationship and all the new dates. with all the tasks. The MPP file, as I said, is under something called Site Contents and Site Assets, where also the OneNote notebook is situated, I should point out. So that's the project file we just created. What this means is, anytime a new person comes on and takes over this project, they open not the task list and synchronize it, they open the MPP file. So click List, and then open with project, and the MPP file will be drawn down, and any changes that have been done to the task list, dates or notes or predecessors, will be synchronized back into the project client. Is there anything I've forgotten?
Don't think so.
No. So let's move on. And where are we now?
We are there. So we've seen the project client working with the SharePoint task list. The project client, the project professional client that we were looking at, is and project standard client is a very, very popular software. It may only be the third most popular project management tool in the world, but we sell a lot of them, nevertheless. And it's right across the world, in every country where we operate, we are selling many of these. And in terms of what we do, we are without doubt today the industry leader. We have more companies using this technology, and as we move forward towards looking at our project and portfolio management solution, Project Online, than our competitors. And it's becoming much more ubiquitous. And the reason why it's becoming more ubiquitous is because the sorts of things that we're talking about right across Microsoft and with our customers and through Office 365 is this ability to be flexible, to work from where you want to, the ability using the project client to work offline, upload when you need to work in a disconnected mode. You may want to start using this technology without having to install your own servers. You need to get up and running quickly. Well, frankly, all you need is a credit card and go onto the Office 365 site and you can be running it pretty well in minutes. And as we move through towards looking at Project Online, which is our project server offering, the ability to actually choose not only to do the projects the right way, use best practice within our projects, but also to choose the right projects that we want to do. So it's about choosing the correct projects which are aligned with our business or our departmental or our governance or our industry alignments. And of course, one of the things that many organizations struggle with is to get visibility of all their projects, to try and find out what's going on. Projects that you must know that you have inside your organization that started 2 years ago, nobody quite remembers who authorized it, and nobody quite sure whether anything it's going to deliver will be of value anymore. So with the offering, what we call the new project, it allows you to get started really quickly with real immediacy. It allows you the flexibility to be as simple or as complex in terms of managing your resources or other things moving forward to make sure you have the right controls. To leverage both what we've seen in the standard SharePoint task way, but also connect that with the more sophisticated capabilities that we can offer and the right way through of being on demand. It's there when you want it to be, where you want it to be. And so we're moving up from this, what we've just seen here is this more collaborative project environment, and we're going to move now through to the the more advanced levels now with the bringing the project server into play.
Or Project Online, as it's also called in the Office 365.
Must call it Project Online.
Yes. So Sarah is still on her SharePoint site, and she wants to know about the progress in her project. She wants to create a report to the management team. So she opens up, my mouse is now working again, she's opened up the project using the little open with the project button. So any changes that had happened to the site, as I said, they are now synchronized after the file has been downloaded.
It will only re-download the file if it needs to. If it detects there's been no changes to the contents of the file, then you've got a local copy cached, you'll stick with that copy. So if it sees a change, then, because somebody else might have worked on that project and uploaded a changed version.
Thank you. So let's have some progress reported on this. I do this the easy way. Just mark these tasks as done, and we'll take those three out, 75. On the ribbon in Project 2013, or in the new project, we have a new tab called Report. Now, reports were something, of course, we had in 2010 as well. But what we didn't have was this report engine within the product. So we have a new reporting engine showing us a lot of different kinds of very rich reporting. So for instance, this project overview, maybe she wants to share with the organization. So this is a ready report. It actually shows that we're 99% done with infrastructure and the front end. We're not really done with the design yet. We haven't really started that. But we also see that the important milestones coming soon are these, and we're 63% complete. Now, this is a nice report, so I can just copy it like that and edit it in a new report. For instance, this very rich PowerPoint slide. Sorry, I should have prepared this. If you paste that in, you'll have the project overview like that. And this will be office art, so it will be smart. It will show you different kinds of designs. We'll follow through themes, I should say, variants and whatnot. Okay. Nice report. Just one note: this report won't be linked to that model in project. Unfortunately, we need something to work on for the next version. Hopefully, that won't be 3 years out, though. The new version. However, the report is fully customizable directly from project. So for instance, if I just want to change the title, I can do that. But even more, if I want to change the data in any way, if I want to filter it, for instance, I don't want design in here, for instance, I can just get that out. Or if I want delivered type or objects or some other kind of data. We've actually brought in the pivot functionality of Excel into project, making these kinds of reports very, very easy to do. So if I want to add duration, for instance, variance, or if I want to change the chart type from a column to a bar or something, or an area or whatnot, that's very easy to do. And then share this again. Now, if she shares this with her management board, and everybody else does the same way, so they got loads and loads of PowerPoints, they will end up with a mess, essentially. All these different kinds of reports. Hopefully, they kind of have some kind of common format. But wouldn't it be nice if we could have this project data shown to us alongside other projects in a list? Yes, we're here in the room, yeah. Whispering. Good. So let's go there. And that's where Project Online comes in. Now, in this organization, Sarah actually has a project management office, and it turns out she's the chief of police. She's project management office manager. So she clicks projects, which takes her to Project Online homepage. And Project Online is project server in the cloud. The same way we did with Exchange Server and onlineified it in Exchange Online and with Link and SharePoint, we did the same thing with Project Server and made it Project Online. Now, this is so much Project Server that it even says server settings down here. It's about 95 to 96% the same thing online as it is on premises.
It's worth noting that the software we run in our data centers to provide this to you through Office 365 is exactly the same software that you would provision on your servers if you wanted to run them on your premise. There is not a different version that we have in the cloud. Now, we don't surface everything. We don't show the cloud users because it's a service. We don't give them that granularity of control that you would have if you had it on-premise. But it's really good to note that it is the same thing.
So, again, we have carousels, as you've seen before. Now they're geared towards project management instead. Create or import projects. Use reports to gain insights. Share your site. That one's the same, though. More features, interesting, timesheets, resourcing, workflows, and more. These are the more advanced PPM functionalities that this system has. Sarah wants to surface that project alongside the other projects in the organization. So she can bring it in by clicking this little button. But before that, I'll just show you what it looks like. Clicking projects will bring you to the project center and the project list. There's one big red thing here in the middle. Biothermal air heating system for helmets. That's a very important project, apparently. This timeline we see here is not geared towards a specific project. This is geared towards the portfolio of projects. So all these bars here are actually projects. However, we can also select and bring out, for instance, important milestones or important tasks from specific projects. So if I want to bring, for instance, out a project here from the currency translator upgrade project, if I mark that project, I can add a task to the timeline from that specific project.
Now, these are project online projects. These are not SharePoint projects. But for many people, when they look at this, they won't know which is which, nor should they, because we just want to have an overview at this point in time.
Project Online and Project Server has two main kinds of projects. And this is new for 2013 and this version, I should say. We do actually have SharePoint projects in here already. This little icon will tell you that this is a SharePoint task list project that has been imported. This, however, is an enterprise project of some other kind. This is also an enterprise project. So we're going back to that first. There's actually a link here that says add SharePoint sites. We can try that one. There we go. So now she's got a list of SharePoint task list projects, essentially, SharePoint sites. You see that the task lists in these are called tasks. You can, of course, call them whatever you want. Project Online recognizes the task list anyway. So let's find that new task test grid app. There it is. She can click more if she wants to, but she clicks add. And now Project Online creates a copy in the database for that specific project. It becomes a read-only object in this view. In just a few Microsoft seconds, it will show up if I press F5 under Project Departments, the first one here. There we go. New Taskboard app. I can also see that someone has have added documents to this project. So that's also a hot link, quick link into the SharePoint site and the documents that adhere to that project. So down here alongside, you can see other things like issues and risks associated with different projects, also surfaced at your convenience, I should say. Now, the views in this, it's just a short note. The views we are looking at now are fully customizable, of course. You can create any kind of views you want. They aggregate data fields, such as total cost and total benefits. And you also have the ability to create traffic lights, or KPIs, that can be based on soft content, like the health of the project. The project manager thinks the health is green, or the health is amber, or red. But it can also be a calculated field. So for instance, what would make sense here is compare the total cost, the estimated cost of the project from the beginning, with the actual cost we have running in the plan, right? And that would bring us up with a very, very useful KPI for cost, essentially. Yep. You could do the same thing for scheduling, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, I don't have it in mind right here.
It's just worth also mentioning at this point in time that when we're looking at this project online / project server, type of function that Mons is showing, these lists and various other things we're going to see, there is no customization here. Everything we're seeing here is out of the box and it's just configured. It's not even customized, it's just configured. And so you do not need to have any Visual Studio skills or anything like that to make this work.
So what happens is that in the PMO, they can actually get now a good overview of this SharePoint task list project. Not only that, because Sarah Davis and some of the other resources on that SharePoint task list, they actually show up in the resource database. So if we hit resources and wait the transatlantic Microsoft second, we're greeted with a long list of different resources. Let's find Sarah Davis. She must be here somewhere. Samantha Smith. Ah, my goodness. Let's just remove the grouping. No group. Go down to Sarah. Where is she? There she is. And let's grab some other guys as well. And then we can click Resource Availability and see how available these resources are. Now, this is gearing towards the PPM functionality that Ian was alluding to before. It's a real-time view of the capacity and availability of the resources I just selected from the resource list. So if a resource manager would go in and select, of course, a view could be default, so only he only sees his resources in that list we just shown. So to select all and show my resources availability. And that is the report he will see on the screen.
It's worth mentioning is that behind this, although there are project plans both for the SharePoint projects and for these Project Online projects, there is a SQL database that is driving this, which is why we can do this report. And it's read through to do this report in our particular demo data, literally thousands of transactions in that time that Mons went to check on the resource availability. So it's very, very responsive. It's very quick. Of course, it'll vary depending on how much data you have. But we've seen a huge performance improvement from the 2010 version through to the 2030 version, both on-premise and in the cloud.
Note the black line here. That's the capacity. And we can see that Sarah Davis, that's me, is actually working too much. It's quite a lot of hours during that quarter right here, too many hours. So going back to projects, what this means is projects that we schedule in the Project Online and enterprise projects, availability, I should say, for those resources in those projects are surfaced in the same area as the ones that are on regular task lists, meaning that we get a much better view of what people are doing if they are using task lists, and we add them to the Project Online like this, to the Project Center. Okay, now Sarah starts to like this. She wants to bring in a whole bunch of projects. So how to do that? Well, she's got a little thing here called ideation. This is a list I've prepared beforehand. This is a custom list. And it has a few columns. It's got ID, title, description, justification, start date, etc. This is the backlog, essentially, of all the projects we want to do. Many organizations have these in their environment. Let's see if we've got an Excel sheet here called Project Ideas. Don't mind the content of this. Just demo content. I copy that. I do the same thing, actually, that I did with the individual project, but now on a portfolio level. I click the Edit button, and I paste. And of course, I've seen to it that the columns are all, and we have an issue. What is that? Thank you very much. That was the wrong one. Thank you for doing that for me. Don't save my changes. So if there's another one I have, that was exactly the thing I didn't want to happen. Is it this one? No.
Let's check recent.
No, I'm checking recent.
While Mons is looking for that, I will point out that there is a very sophisticated security model running behind this, which will allow you to only give people the capabilities that they need to have. Now, we're configured as admins, so we have rights to everything. But in reality, your users would see the things that they need to see, and you would keep them away from the things that they don't need to see. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on fine. I found it.
Good news. Across the Mons.
So I found it now, and I paste it in. and it works. Now that's this list of like something, what is it, 15, 17 projects, something like that. And again, SharePoint does its thing. It translates this into something that's nice and easy for SharePoint to understand, and also validates essentially the data. And it's also something I've added to this out here. It's a rating system that now comes to standard in SharePoint 2013. So you can rate these things and actually use these lists for ideation. The name of it is ideation, right? So if we want to use the social features of SharePoint, we can do that and have any kind of workflows attached to this list and whatnot. But essentially, this is the start of the funnel of all the projects that we want to bring in, right? Now, I'm stop editing this, and I see here at, let's take all of these projects, because that's actually something that's quite possible. These are the projects we want to bring in. So I mark them all, and I hit items, and this little button, create projects. What that lets me do is it can bring in all the different kinds of data that I want to from the list into the enterprise fields of Project Online. So for instance, if I have a risk rating or if I have justification, those kinds of fields can then be populated with this data. So think of this as also a bulk edit or bulk entering of projects into Project Online. So software development is the project type I want to do. So I create projects. And this is only one way to create projects in Project Online. There's actually a couple of more versions more versions. You've seen two now, right? We imported a SharePoint task list project, and now we've created, 21 projects actually, in the database using a SharePoint task list.
So the metadata that you see there is data that you have configured that you want to have associated with the projects. And you can set rules. So different projects have to have different metadata based upon the department they belong to, based upon maybe the value that they have. So there is total flexibility in the way that you set these things up.
Yeah. So now we have that list of projects. But which projects to use? That's the next big question. Sorry, to go forward with. Now, in this organization, if we click one of these projects, we have a... Sorry. Oh, that's interesting. We'll show that later. In this organization, we have a workflow associated with all our projects. We have a tollgate model. They have to go through a create stage, an initiation stage, et cetera, et cetera. And that stage model essentially is something you can configure exactly the way you want. In order to find a project that is not in the create stage, I switch view now to something called...
The view that Mons is changing to, this is not a pre-built view. This is a view that Mons built for this particular list to reorganize the projects into an order that he wants them to be in. All of this stuff has been configured. So none of it is customized. It's very, very simple to do.
Workflow phase. I want to see which project is in the select phase, essentially. So these projects down here are in the select phase. So if I go in and click one of these...
What we mean by that is they've all got a business case and they've got a set of approvals that they're ready to be... They're sitting in their backlog. They're ready to be delivered.
Yes. So we have a page that details the project details with information about... Total cost of ownership, total cost, estimated total cost, et cetera, justification, all those things. I also have something called strategic impact. And this little page shows me an overview of the strategic drivers my organization has set up as a way to prioritize projects. So in order for this project to be in the select phase and have the ability to be selected, I have to do certain things. One of which, is actually to fill in this project strategic impact. So I have to go through, not me or a steering committee or whoever has the responsibility, to make a assessment. Expanding into new markets and segments is something that's very important for this organization. How will this project affect this specific business driver that we have? Well, it'll be moderate, the project manager in this case, has estimated the impact on that specific driver. And you have to go through each and every one of them. Well, coming back to these strategic impact drivers, strategic drivers in a moment, I just wanted to show you the project web app functionality for the scheduling web part. Now, this is the web version of project. Office web apps, but for project. Think like that. It is a very rich web UI where you can do scheduling directly in line using just a web browser, any web browser, even a, God forbid, Safari browser. So going in and from a Macintosh, for instance, going in here and making a change to this schedule will actually affect the schedule in real time. This is also a new functionality in Project Online and Project Server 2013. In this environment, we have the same scheduling engine as we do on the client. We've brought the same engine from the client down into the SharePoint service that Project Online is.
It has some, but not all, of the capabilities that the project client has. So for simple project editing, we can do that.
Yes. So for instance, if you want to do some time-phased editing, time-phased planning, those kinds of things, the project client might be better suited for that. Setting the baseline is something that's now possible in the web browser. This is a biggie, I can tell you, for organizations using Project Server today. This is very, very good, not having to open up the project client to set a baseline. OK, so let's go down to check the project in. Let's go down to the strategy overview. I don't mind. Forget my editing. This is the driver library. The drivers you see here were the same that showed up on that detailed page for the specific project. But here is, this is the place where the PMO or the governance organization of the PMO defines these different drivers, expanding into new markets and segments. For instance, different kinds of drivers. These drivers are typically not changed quite often. Maybe every third or fourth year, something like that. And you can also drill down in impact statements, essentially making it easier for a for someone or the group who has responsibility to class to assess that. Yeah, the effect will be none because it will not grow revenue, this project. Okay. So that's the driver library. The next piece is driver prioritization. Because these priorities that we have now, the drivers that we've done for each and every project might be, since we don't change them that often, for instance, if we want to expand into new market segments outside of the current market, maybe currency situation at the moment is something we want to take in as something we should think about. So instead of going in and redoing all that, we can do a prioritization of the drivers themselves. So these drivers can be manually prioritized, or we can use a pairwise comparison tool, which is the best practice way of actually looking at a set of business drivers and saying which of these are at the moment the most important ones we have. This can be done much more often than every third year. This can be done maybe every quarter or something like that. Expanding into new markets and segments is more important than improved customer satisfaction. You step through all of these and compare them to one another. Is less important than, is less important than, et cetera, et cetera. And you end up with a mathematically, very, very mathematically calculated priority. Down here is a little consistency ratio check. If the discussion has been good, then you will actually end up on the right-hand side. If you contradicted yourself in your discussion, you'll end up on the right-hand side. The discussion was useless, to be honest, if it ends up there. The whole point of this is, instead of having a list, the list I had, with 24 projects in an Excel sheet and say, dear steering committee, these are the projects we have in the backlog. With the budget you have, which projects do you want to run? So instead, they can have a serious discussion of what they actually think is important for the business, and then we can use that prioritization together with the individual impact statements for each and every project. So I want to combine these two now, the list of all the impact statements from all the projects. I want to do this in a portfolio analysis. I've started this, and I've just called it 2013 Annual Portfolio Selection Analysis.
This is a model, and we can do multiple models of what-if scenarios.
Yes, this is just a scenario engine, essentially. So I choose which prioritization I have, because I can create different priorities for different departments, for instance. We can still use the same business drivers that the entire company has, but we have different priorities. Maybe they actually have different budgets. They're not maybe competing for the same budget. Okay, we choose the CIO prioritization. I select the projects. In this case, I select the 24 projects that are within the select phase, essentially. Now, they're all selected already for me. How convenient. There's some more settings, the planning horizon, for instance, and we go on to the next page, which is prioritize the projects. Now there's a little matrix multiplication going on, or very soon there's matrix multiplication going on. This is just a preview of the projects I've selected, the ideas, and the drivers. And this is the rating that has been given to each and every project towards these drivers. Next, we review this, and this is where the multiplication has already happened. So the most strategic project we have is this shared GPS devices for transportation project. Okay, great. Next step is analyze the costs. Of course, all of these projects also have an estimated cost to them, as you've seen. Now, loading this page, we'll see a list of all the projects. We see them in the scatter shot. That's nice. We want to switch to the grid one that we usually see. And it says up here, selected projects, 100%. Everyone is selected. This is the baseline. If we do all the projects, we have to have 19.9 Swedish crowns in order to do that. I lower that because we don't have that budget. The budget the company gave us was 10.8, maybe. And I click recalculate. What happens then is that the system tries to maximize, the strategic value under this budget constraint. Hence, moving out these projects. These are moved out from the previous scenario. So I save this as a scenario, call it 10. Sure, 10 million. Okay. And I can force a project in. Let's force this project in, because it's a little graphical bug there. We need to fix that. Thank you. I can force it in like that. And do a recalculate. And save that as the last one. That scenario. I hit caps lock, thank you. And I have a nice report showing the different scenarios under the different budgets. And this is something I can then go to the leadership team and say, based on your priorities of the business drivers, These are the scenarios we have.
We can also look at resources and plan those.
Yeah.
We're going to jump through to, as we're coming very close to the end now, we're going to jump through to our reporting just to have a look at the sorts of reports that can come out.
Yes.
We also want to show you that, and then we'll be doing our final wrap-up. If you've got any questions after that, you can ask us after we finish up the presentation, which will be very shortly.
This is just a standard Excel report with some slices in it. You can have much more advanced ones, for instance, in PowerView, but these are very rich and error occurred while working. Thank you very much. I won't do that demo then. It should work, as my chemistry teacher said. One note on these reports. In the online version, we don't build data cubes. That's something yet, I should say. That's something you should be aware of. So data cubes is something we offer, of course, in the on-premises version, where we, out of the box, build 14 different cubes for you to use. But online, we're using a protocol called OData to extract all this data from the tables in the database. And it is actually very real time, on the other hand, compared to the cubes. That takes a minute or two to
build. And as you can see, we can build some fairly sophisticated reports, again, using standard capabilities that your colleagues will know around Excel and Excel Web Access. So let's just go to the wrap-up now.
Let's go to the wrap-up.
If you go onto the Microsoft project site, you'll see some links to these case studies, and it's worthwhile just having a look. here in, actually in Liechtenstein, we have Hilti. That's one of our newest case studies that have been published. Definitely worth having a look at that. For those of you who want to know more information, obviously these links, you can download this presentation after the event, and you can follow that link. It'll take you through to all sorts of training resources that we've made available. Some of it is very deeply technical, so it's really worth your while. If you want to learn some more of the innards and some of the more of the advanced stuff, that's the place to go. If you want to maybe try out Project Online, then if you go onto our Office 365 sites, you will see for Project Online, we don't offer a try now button. Because it's a bit more sophisticated than some of the other stuff we do, we like you to go to your Microsoft account manager or to a partner, and they can request a trial, a 3-month proof of concept trial for you, and you'll have that provision literally in hours. But we do it that way because we want you to have the best assistance in making a really good proof of concept. And well, there's various other bits and pieces. Most of the sessions have gone, but please come by the stand if you want to have more information, or you can just talk to us after this session. We've got a flashing red button.
Yes.
But one of the nicest thing, there's more stuff on the presentation, I won't go there. But one of the nicest things is that this scenario was based upon a real scenario. And what Mons is going to show you as the very last screen is the application that was built to build a task board in SharePoint, which is, I think, available to anybody now to add into their SharePoint task list on Project Online, SharePoint Online, or on-premise. And here you can see it.
This is the task board application I was talking about. We can drag and drop tasks into different kinds of situations on the Kanban kind of style here. And I can drag and drop users on these. So this is a regular task list that is working behind this. So all that editing now has been done to the task list.
So we thought about the idea for a Kanban style board. We used the technology to build it. And this works as an app, one of the Microsoft apps, which you can download and add into your SharePoint sites. With that, I'd like to thank you very much for your attention this afternoon. If you could do your evaluations, we would appreciate it.
I will stay on for questions.
And we will stay here if you have any further questions. Thank you very much.